Welcome to the very first episode of The Space Between, Season 1. Love. It's exciting, confusing, beautiful, and sometimes an absolute mess. Welcome to The Space Between, the podcast where we dive into all the moments that make relationships what they are, the highs, the lows, and everything in between. I'm your host, and if you've ever overanalyzed a text, replayed a first date in your head, or questioned whether a good morning message really means something, you're in the right place. This show is all about real talk. No sugarcoating, no cliches. Just honest conversations about love, dating, and the weird, wonderful, and sometimes disastrous experiences we all go through. And today, we're starting right at the beginning. First dates, awkward encounters, and those crucial first impressions. What makes a great start? What are the biggest mistakes people make? And how do you know if there's really a spark or just wishful thinking? Let's get into it. Welcome to The Space Between.
Today, we're going to be tackling these early relationship mistakes that can really mess things up before they even get started. You've given me some pretty interesting articles here, a mix of psychology journals and kind of like relationship advice columns. I'm really interested to see how those different perspectives come together.
It is a really good mix of sources because we get to kind of examine the science behind attraction alongside the practical everyday challenges of dating.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good combo.
Right. And we'll be looking at things from 20 mistakes to avoid in a new relationship, 13 early relationship mistakes that can set you up for long-term failure, and a fascinating piece from Psychology Today on sentiment override.
Sentiment override.
Yeah, sentiment override.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that one a little.
Okay.
As I love the why behind dating advice.
Right.
You know, it's one thing to say don't rush into things, but like understanding the psychology is way more interesting to me.
Absolutely. So sentiment override is this phenomenon where our positive feelings about someone can actually cloud our judgment.
Oh, interesting.
So we might overlook or downplay their negative behaviors simply because we're smitten with them.
Oh.
It's kind of like those early romantic feelings create a filter, making it harder to see potential problems.
So that's why people make excuses for partners that are, you know, constantly late, disrespectful, or just kind of shady. It's not that we're naive, it's that our brains are working against us.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, wow.
It's true. The early stages of romance, they're a bit like a chemical cocktail in our brains, you know.
Right.
Dopamine and oxytocin are flowing, creating these feelings of euphoria and attachment.
Yeah.
It's no wonder we get a little blinded to those red flags right there in front of us.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It really makes sense of that classic advice to take things slow. It's not just being cautious. It's giving yourself time for those intense feelings to settle a bit so you can see your partner and the relationship more objectively. Something that really stood out to me from that 20 Mistakes article was the whole idea of confusing your partner with your therapist.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen this play out with friends and maybe even been guilty of it myself a time or two.
It's a very common mistake, especially when we're feeling vulnerable and excited to connect with someone new.
Yeah, I think so.
But dumping all your emotional baggage on a new partner too soon can create an imbalance in the relationship.
Right.
You end up turning early dates into therapy sessions. And that's not exactly the recipe for a light and breezy romantic connection.
You're telling me. It's like, hey, nice to meet you. Want to hear about my childhood traumas?
Right. Exactly. Not exactly. Yeah, the best icebreaker.
Right.
Not the best way to create a sense of fun and excitement.
It's not.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder about the line between, you know, being authentic and oversharing. Because we hear all the time about being yourself. But where do you draw that line?
It's a fantastic question. And it gets to the heart of what authenticity really means.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about revealing every single detail of your past or your current struggles right away.
Right.
It's more about being genuine in your interactions, showing up as your true self, and letting your personality shine through.
So it's more about the energy you bring to the relationship.
Yes.
And about spilling all your secrets on the first date.
Exactly. Exactly. Think of it as finding that balance between vulnerability and self-preservation.
Okay.
Right. Vulnerability is essential for intimacy, but oversharing too soon can create a sense of imbalance or even put undue pressure on the other person.
Yeah, for sure. And that kind of pressure can lead to another one of those classic mistakes, putting your whole life on hold for the new relationship.
Right.
The 13 Early Relationship Mistakes article was really big on this, the importance of keeping your own life, your own interests, and your own sense of self, even when you're totally head over heels.
Yeah, that really resonated with me as well.
Yeah.
So easy to get swept up in a new relationship and forget about everything else.
Right.
But maintaining that sense of individuality within a relationship, that's crucial for long-term happiness.
Totally.
It's like those oxygen masks on an airplane.
Ooh, I like that.
Put your own on first before helping someone else.
Right. Great analogy. And speaking of those early stages, let's talk about first impressions.
Yeah.
You included a couple of sources specifically about those initial encounters, first impressions count, and five reasons why first impressions are important in a relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a feeling you're going to get excited about the psychology behind this one.
Yeah, it is a fascinating area of research.
Yeah.
You know, those first few moments of meeting someone, they can have a really long-lasting impact on how we perceive and interact with them.
Wow.
Studies show that our brains make these snap judgments based on a surprisingly small amount of information.
Mm.
Yeah, forming impressions about personality, trustworthiness, even competence, all within seconds of meeting them.
So those first few minutes can really set the stage for the whole relationship.
It can, yeah.
Oh, no pressure.
But that's why it's worth being mindful of how you present yourself in those early interactions.
Yeah.
And it's not just what you say. It's also about those nonverbal cues.
Mm.
Your body language, your facial expressions, even what you wear.
Makes me think about this one date I went on, and the guy showed up with mismatched socks.
Oh, no.
One was striped, one had polka dots.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't a deal breaker or anything.
Okay.
But it definitely made me wonder.
I can see that.
If he was as attentive to detail as I am.
It's a great example of how those small details can send the message, intentional or not.
Hmm, that's true. So we're talking about being mindful, but not like overthinking everything, right?
Right.
You've got to find that sweet spot between authenticity and, you know, putting your best foot forward.
Exactly. And that's where a bit of strategic thinking comes in. Not in a manipulative way.
Right.
But just being intentional about the messages you're sending and the kind of dynamic you want to create.
Okay. I like that. Strategic, but genuine. What are some of those strategies?
Well, one thing that stuck out in the How to Make a Good First Impression article was the importance of asking those open-ended questions.
Okay.
And actively listening to the responses.
Right.
It's about turning that initial encounter into a conversation.
Right.
A real back and forth.
Yeah.
Where you're both learning about each other, not just trying to impress.
It's like saying, I'm genuinely curious about you, not listen to how interesting I am.
Right. Exactly.
I've been on both sides of that.
Yeah.
And the difference is huge.
It's all about creating a space for that genuine connection.
Yeah.
And as you're listening, pay attention to those little clues that reveal shared interests or passions.
Okay.
Those are golden opportunities to build rapport and make the conversation really memorable.
It's like those moments when you realize you both love the same band that nobody's ever heard of.
Exactly.
Or you both like love underwater basket weaving or something.
Yeah. And suddenly the conversation just takes on a whole new level of excitement.
It does. It does. You're like, oh, okay. We have something to talk about.
Exactly. It's about finding that common ground that you can build upon.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to share your own passions and interests authentically.
Okay.
Enthusiasm is contagious, and it can be really attractive to see someone light up when they're talking about something they love.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's be real, though, for a second. Not every conversation is going to be filled with sparks and shared passions.
Right.
What about those inevitable disagreements?
Yeah.
How do we handle conflict, especially in those early stages when you're still getting to know each other?
That's where those communication skills we talked about before really come in.
Right.
Remember, conflict is a natural part of any relationship.
Right.
But it's how you approach those disagreements that makes a difference. And one of the sources, it highlighted the importance of establishing those healthy communication patterns from the very beginning.
So no shouting matches or passive-aggressive text messages?
Ideally not, no.
Okay.
It's about expressing your feelings and your needs clearly and respectfully.
Yeah.
Without blame or personal attacks or just shutting down completely.
I know it sounds obvious, but it can be so hard to do when you're in the heat of the moment.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially when you're feeling triggered or emotional.
It takes practice.
Right.
And a willingness to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Even when it feels uncomfortable.
Totally.
Active listening is crucial.
Okay.
Truly hearing and trying to understand your partner's perspective, even if you don't agree with it.
It's about remembering that the goal isn't to win.
Exactly.
It's to understand each other.
Yes. And find a solution that works for both of you.
Right. And sometimes that solution is just to agree to disagree.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Not every conflict needs to be settled with a clear winner or a loser.
Sometimes it's healthier to just like table it and come back later when things have calmed down a bit.
Exactly. Yeah.
Speaking of things that can heat up a relationship, let's circle back to those red flags for a sec.
Yeah.
We talked about how sentiment override can blind us to those potential problems.
Right.
But how do we know when we're giving someone the benefit of the doubt versus like ignoring warning signs?
It's a tricky balance, for sure.
It is.
Everyone makes mistakes, right?
Yeah.
And those occasional slip-ups.
Right.
They don't necessarily mean the relationship is doomed.
Right.
But consistently disrespectful behavior, disregard for your boundaries, or actions that really clash with your values.
Yeah.
Those are the red flags you just can't ignore.
It's about trusting your gut, I think.
It is.
If something feels off, it probably is.
Yeah.
It's not your job to fix or change someone.
Right.
You deserve to be with someone who aligns with your values and treats you with respect from the get-go.
Absolutely. It's about finding someone who complements and enhances your life.
Right.
Not someone you feel like you need to fix or control.
This has been so insightful.
Oh, good.
I'm already thinking of all the ways I can apply this stuff to my own dating life.
Awesome.
It's like you've given me this whole new toolkit
for
navigating those early stages with more confidence.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
And remember, it's all about being intentional, authentic, and open to learning and growing.
Love it. It's funny. We talk a lot about finding a good fit in a relationship.
Right.
But we don't often talk about how those relationships can actually help us become better versions of ourselves.
Yeah. That's so important.
It is. It is.
And the Psychology Today article, it really highlighted this. Well, how new partners can expand our horizons, you know?
Yeah.
Introduce us to new ideas, even encourage us to try new hobbies.
Right.
It's like that saying, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Oh, yeah.
A partner can really influence your growth.
I've definitely experienced that firsthand.
Yeah.
I've been inspired to try new things in past relationships, learn new skills, even adopt healthier habits.
Yeah, I love that.
It's like the relationship itself becomes this catalyst for positive change.
It's a beautiful thing how relationships can enrung our lives in ways we don't even expect.
It is. It is.
And of course, it goes both ways.
Right.
You want to be with someone who is open to learning and growing from you as well.
So it's a two-way street.
Exactly.
It's not about one person dominating or changing the other, but supporting each other and growing together.
Exactly. Celebrating those moments of individual and collective growth.
I love that. You know, all this talk about growth and evolution is making me want to create a new relationship bucket list.
Oh, I love that idea.
All the things I'd love to try with a new partner, like cooking classes, learning a new language, maybe training for a marathon, that kind of thing.
I love it. Approach new relationships with a sense of adventure, open to possibilities.
Yeah, totally. But let's get real for a minute. Not every relationship is going to last forever, right? How do we navigate those situations when it's just not working without things turning into a complete disaster?
That's where those healthy communication skills and boundaries are so important.
Right.
If you realize a relationship isn't a good fit,
it's
important to express those feelings honestly.
So no ghosting, no passive-aggressive disappearing act.
Ideally not, no.
Okay.
Just a clear, respectful conversation about why you're moving on.
That makes sense.
It's natural to feel hurt or disappointed if things don't work out.
Right.
But not every connection is meant to last forever.
Yeah.
Sometimes those shorter relationships are valuable lessons. They help us figure out what we want in the partner.
Right.
And prepare us for something even better down the line.
I like that. It's about seeing those relationships not as failures, but as learning experiences.
Exactly.
It's all part of the journey.
It is.
To figuring out who we are and what we're looking for.
Absolutely. And remember, even though there's no magic formula for relationship success, a little self-awareness and the insights we talked about today can really make a difference.
I agree. We covered so much today, from attraction to communication, red flags to growth. I feel like I have a whole new perspective on relationships.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that.
Me too. And to our listener, we hope this deep dive gave you some things to think about as you navigate the world of dating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, before we wrap up, we want to leave you with one final question.
Okay.
If you could go back in time and give your younger self one piece of advice about new relationships, what would it be? Think about it. What wisdom would you share? Until next time, happy dating.